The Sharks, in the midst of a four-game losing streak, they were without one of their best defenders in Mark-Edward Vlasic for at least tonight's game, and we'll find out how much longer as Kevin Kurz from Comcast Sportsnet joins us again. Kevin, I guess let's start first of all with Vlasic. When do you expect him to return?
Well, he's not on the road trip, as you said, so he missed last night. He's missing tonight. But Peter DeBoer called him on the horizon on the day that before the Sharks left on that trip. So it's not a long-term thing. He's not on injured reserve. So they hope to have him back pretty quickly. And, you know, they miss him. They miss any of those top four defensemen when they're out. So they really need Vlasic back as soon as possible, I would say.
Well, Kevin, he's a terrific defenseman, and now – you know, that forces your hand. You end up going with your top four a lot more than you want to. Any coach with a functioning brain is going to go after a group like that, try and get the body on them, try and play a high-pressure game. How long can this group hold up until you get a significant reinforcement here?
Well, they haven't held up very well at all when they're missing a top four defenseman in general. Yeah. We saw Paul Martin miss three games. In October, the Sharks lost all three. Sharks went 1-1 without Justin Braun, and the one win came against Calgary at home about a week and a half ago. And you know, now they're missing Vlasic. So overall, they're 1-6 when they're missing a top four defenseman, and they've been outscored 29-13 in those seven games. So you know, defensive depth is a real issue on this team right now. You'll see the third pairing tonight. It's either going to be Matt Tennyson. It's going to be some combination of Matt Tennyson, Mirko Mueller, and Dylan DeMello, and those are three inexperienced guys. And, you know, I think headed into training camp, that was a real competition. It was going to lock down the sixth defenseman spot, and none of those players has really stepped up and grabbed it. So I think that's a real point of concern with this team. And, you know, their injuries are going to happen. Obviously, you hate it when they do, and it's tough to make up for some injuries sometimes. But, you know, Vlasic's been hurt a few times over the last few years. Paul Martin's 34 years old. He's got an injury history over the last couple of years. So, you know, when you talk about this roster and how they stand right now, that's, to me, the biggest issue right now is their depth on the blue line.
Kevin, that's an issue, and I don't know if it's just a coincidence because Vlasic's been out the last two games. Their 5-on-5 scoring has basically dried up over the last six. Are they not getting any puck movement from the back end, or their forwards just not finishing?
Yeah, that's part of it. You know, you start in the top line with Thornton, Pavelski, and Melker Karlsson, and all those guys have gone cold. And, you know, you look at Joe Thornton, he's on pace for fewer than 50 points this year, which would be, you know, in his career, obviously, he tends to have much better numbers than that throughout his career, year to year. But, you know, he's 36 years old now. Are we witnessing his decline? We might be. You know, they've had some chances, but those tape-to-tape passes that we typically see from Thornton haven't really been there this year. I think he struggled a little bit in the neutral zone. So, you know, that's for me where it starts. When your even strength scoring dries up, you got to look right at your big guys. Now, you know, that being said, they just got Logan Couture back, so that should help. I think when Couture was in there, his line – the first three games of the season with Joel Ward and Patrick Marleau was the Sharks' best line, and then they lost him. He's such a key part of the team. Even strength, power play, penalty kill. They gave him a letter before the season, so they look at him as a leader, too. So, you know, getting Couture back should help, but they certainly need more production from their top guys, obviously, if they're going to get their even strength scoring going in the right direction.
Kevin, do they put that line back together with Couture back, or how is it going to look in the top six?
Yeah, they did last night. I don't know about tonight, but last night it was Marleau, Couture, and Joel Ward. I would imagine they're going to keep that line together. It seems like a line that Peter DeBoer really has had together since the start of training camp. So I would imagine he's going to give Couture some time to get acclimated. Obviously, last night was his first game back from missing 23 with that broken right leg. So I think he'll give them some time to, you know, hopefully in his mind, refine some of that chemistry that they had earlier.
Kevin Kurz joins us from Comcast in San Jose, Oilers and the Sharks. What's the biggest difference, Kevin, now that we're, you know, almost at the 30-game mark? Does Peter DeBoer, does his team attack or defend significantly different than they did under Todd McClellan?
Well, what he wants them to do is be more aggressive with the defensemen, you know, jumping up in the play. And you look at Brent Burns kind of leads the way in that regard. You know, offensively, Burns in the offensive end is one of the best defensemen in the league, frankly, getting the puck on the net, generating shot attempts, driving the play that way. He wants all of his guys to do that. And he said more than once that when he took over the New Jersey Devils in 2012, that was his first year they went to the Stanley Cup final, he didn't really think the Devils were playing his system the way that, playing the system without thinking until Christmas time. And I think he expected a group here in San Jose to get it a little bit more quickly. I think it's, taking some time, obviously. The results speak for themselves, 14 wins and 13 losses. So, I think there's still a little bit of an adjustment period. We haven't really seen him kicking and screaming after games because I think he does understand that this is a process and it might take some time. And, they're not in a bad spot in the division. You look at the division, it's wide open. Somehow they're still in second place. So I think he's pretty content where they are. Maybe not overly happy, but you look at the division, obviously, it's still wide open, and the Sharks have at least put themselves in a decent position that if they do have a strong second half, they should be right there.
Kevin, one guy I'm curious about, I don't see him much, Tomas Hertl. He came into the league with great promise. I mean, 15 goals in 37 games, and then he followed that up with just 13 in 82, and no great shakes so far this season. Is he underachieving in your mind, or has he just found his level and he is what he is?
Well, a little bit. And what Hertl did after the end of last year, I think he realized, and actually Todd McClellan was pretty critical on more than one occasion of Hertl and his conditioning level. And I think Hertl took that to heart. And over the offseason, he changed his diet. He cut out dairy and gluten. I think he worked out a little bit harder. And he came to camp and he looked like a different guy. Strength on his skates was a big issue for him last year. He was getting knocked over, knocked off the puck way too easily. And he's a pretty big guy. So he's got to play that power game. And it's coming around for him now. I think he's still a young guy. I think he's still growing into his body a little bit. He hasn't been bad. And obviously, when Couture gets hurt, the Sharks' first move they did was to put Hertl up there on that second line. And he had his good moments. He wasn't terrible there. If you look at possession numbers, his numbers have been pretty good in that department. But I think what they really want him, and this is why the Couture injury was so key, they want him on that third line, centering that third line, and maybe taking advantage of obviously some weaker matchups playing on the bottom six. And that hasn't happened yet. I think part of that is Hertl's line mates have struggled. Tommy Wingles is probably the most disappointing player on the team this year with just two goals so far. I think they expected a lot more out of Wingles. And then they've got a rookie on the other side, Jonas Donskoy on some nights, and Matt Nieto is another guy who was on the third line last night with Hertl. And he hasn't exactly been lighting it up either. Nieto's a speedy guy, but he's had trouble finishing for just about his whole career here, his three-year career. So his line mates aren't exactly lighting it up. I think Hertl could be better, but again, I think he's still in a little bit of an adjustment period. He hasn't played a whole lot of center. This is really his first year full-time as a centerman. So they do expect him to improve, I would say, throughout the next few months.
Kevin, about, I want to say, 3 weeks ago, there was all the talk about Patrick Marleau and, submitting a short list of three teams. What are you hearing about that? Do you think Marleau will be moved out of San Jose?
Oh, boy. I haven't heard a lot about that lately. Obviously, that was a story, and no one denied any of it. I think it's now pretty much accepted as fact that Marleau did want to explore his options, and he did consider or would consider leaving San Jose. But it's such a difficult trade for Doug Wilson to make, even if Patrick Marleau does want to leave. You look at a 36-year-old guy making $6.7 million this year and next year. Doug Wilson, I think, has to make the playoffs in order for him to keep his job. So it'd be tough. It would be tough for him to move Marleau, not just salary cap wise, but also he's not in a position to trade Marleau for future assets. He's not going to trade Marleau for a prospect in a first round pick. He needs to get to the playoffs. He needs to get players back, a player or players back that can help the team right now. And Patrick Marleau would be a tough guy to replace. So, in that regard, I don't think anything's imminent, but that being said, Marleau wanted to explore his options. Could he increase his list? Maybe. Could he decide he wants to stay? That's also a possibility. Haven't heard anything about it lately, but it's sure to be a story that's going to crop up from time to time between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, Kevin, when I look at the Sharks, and I've asked this question before when it comes to San Jose, to me, and I may be coming out of left field, the Sharks look to me like a team on decline. The window has closed for them to be that top caliber team. That's no surprise. They're getting older. It happens with clubs. But are they, do they have something in the pipeline that I'm not aware about, some organizational depth that hasn't shown itself yet? Or is this a team that's going to see considerable transition in the next year or two if things don't change?
I think you can make a strong case that this is the last year. This is it. This is their chance with this core group. And I already mentioned Joe Thornton struggling a little bit. Patrick Marleau, we're going to have to see what happens with him. But there are obviously still some very, very good players on this team in the primes of their careers. And Logan Couture, Joe Pavelski, Mark Edward Vlasic, guys like that. And they have improved their team, at least on paper, from last year's team in the offseason. They added Paul Martin. He's helped. They added Martin Jones in goal. That's been an upgrade over Antti Niemi for sure. Joel Ward has been great so far. So, what they expected to do or what they expected to happen, I would say, this year is they expected more from their younger players. And you go back to last year, I don't think management even really considered last year to be a Stanley Cup contending team. They kept calling it, Doug Wilson called it a transitional year where it's a tomorrow team. We're going to take a step backwards, and that's exactly what they did. But the reason they did that was to get their younger players playing time and, hope that they become productive NHL players, and that hasn't happened. I think you can actually make the case the opposite has happened. Some of these guys have regressed, and I think they rushed them. And I think about Matt Nieto. Chris Tierney is a guy right now who probably should have spent more time in the minors. Mirko Mueller's on defense. He should probably be in the minor leagues right now. So, their hurdle, I think, has improved from last year, but he's certainly not lighting it up either. What they, the ultimate goal to me was they hoped that guys like Thornton and Marleau would still be elite players, and they still might improve here, or Thornton particularly might get it going here in the second half of the year, but they wanted these younger guys. I think they hoped that these younger guys would be a lot better and contribute a lot more than they are right now.
Kevin, it will be an interesting time. It's a position Shark fans aren't used to being in, and the Oilers fans, honestly, aren't being this close to the playoffs in mid-December. So a game that has a little extra oomph for it with Todd McClellan playing his former team. A lot of respect on both sides from the players to their coach, and we'll see how they respond after a tough night in Calgary last night. Martin Jones will get the start. We'll see you down at the rink. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Enjoy the game, guys. Take care.